This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Julia Torres-Barton joins me live on the long line from Richmond. She is an award-winning writer and a former corporate spokesperson, and also, I might add, a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership at the University of Virginia. Julia, how are you? Happy Wednesday.
Great. Happy Wednesday to you, and thank you for having me on the show, Coy.
Absolutely. Been looking forward to it. We want to talk about Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
And there's so much to talk about, but the best place for me always to begin is tell us a little bit about yourself and why, perhaps, Puerto Rico is an important issue to you personally.
Okay. First of all, you have to say Puerto Rico
with a
very long sort of spinny thing going on with your pronunciation,
right.
Puerto Rico. Both of my parents were born there and came to this country as young children. I am the first generation born here and lived my life in the South Bronx, at least through my childhood, just like current Supreme Court judge nominee Sonia Sotomayor. And my parents divorced when I was very young, and my mother's agenda was to assimilate me, sort of to scrub away the Puerto Ricanness, if you will, and instead have me blend, and I think to protect me. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that to be comfortable in one's own skin, you really have to sort of own up to who you are and educate others in whatever way you can to make life for all of your ancestors, obviously, or in their honor, and current citizens from wherever you are, better.
Right, right.
And Puerto Ricans struggle with several things.
Yeah. So educate us a little bit, because, you know, as I was telling you earlier, I don't think most Americans know the first thing about Puerto Rico.
Right.
They couldn't find it on a map. They know it's somewhere, it's an island somewhere down there in the water in the Caribbean. But tell us a little bit about it. But begin with the fact that we are talking about American citizens, are we not?
We are talking about natural-born United States citizens who currently continue to be banned from voting for their own commander-in-chief, that being that they are not allowed to participate in presidential elections, although they can be drafted and have been since World War I. And for those of us like you who study politics and the Constitution, it just doesn't seem right. Especially when, as you mentioned, this island is part of the country. It's a little bit further away than Cuba. And you'd be surprised at how many people don't even know you can visit a beautiful tropical oasis without a passport. And so it's the perfect place to visit.
Amazing. Just like going to Alabama or Georgia or anything. You just, no
Pretty
passport,
much.
Get on a plane, go to Puerto Rico.
Go to Puerto Rico, that's right. And
how big
enjoy
is
yourself
it?
And enjoy all the federally mandated safeties that go along with being in any part of this country.
Yeah.
And so it's the safer place to vacation right now.
We're talking with writer-journalist Julia Torres-Barton. How big is Puerto Rico? How many people are we talking about? And tell us about the country.
Sure. You called it a country.
Yep. Sorry about that. What is it? It's a
That's
territory?
That's why we're doing this radio interview.
Yeah.
It's a territory. It's a commonwealth. It's sort of, some would say, the last bastion of colonialism
yeah.
with regards to the United States. But maybe we won't go the United Nations route right now. Puerto Rico has 3.9 million residents, 2.9 million of which are eligible voters. And were they allowed full representation in the U.S. Congress, that would come via statehood, they would qualify for 2 senators and 6 representatives in the U.S. Congress. And you can imagine how that would have an impact.
Wow. So right now they have no direct representation in Congress.
Correct. They have one non-voting member, their resident commissioner, and currently that is Congressman Pedro Pierluisi, who, interestingly, while a Democrat, is pro-statehood. At the same time, current Puerto Rico Governor Luis Fortuno, who is a graduate of the University of Virginia, is a Republican but also pro-statehood, which is a perfect example to show you how the political system in Puerto Rico is very different than the traditional model we have here of Democrats or Republicans. There, your party affiliation is based more on your position for or against statehood.
Interesting.
And that frustrates me because I think that Puerto Rico in some ways is holding itself back.
And what do you mean by that?
What I mean is that, you know, I've had enough conversations with congressmen and with governors who say, you know, Puerto Rico can't seem to figure out, you know, what they want, or it changes every 4 years based on whoever the current governor is. And so, you know, we believe in the right of self-determination, but the plebiscite process and the way in which a referendum comes up, whereby Puerto Ricans vote for or against statehood, is still determined by the permission of the U.S. Congress. So there's a little bit of lack of trust on both sides,
right,
if
right.
you will. So, there's an issue.
Now tell us, where do you think, we're talking with Julia Torres-Barden, what do you think the sentiment is by and large in Puerto Rico regarding statehood? Is it sort of split down the middle, or do most people feel one way or the other?
Well, it's an interesting question. Luis Fortuno, in winning for governor, who is, I said, pro-statehood, won by a pretty big majority this past November. And some would say, especially because he was pro-statehood. The most recent statistic out there as well is a poll taken in May 2008 reporting that 52% of Puerto Ricanos want statehood for their island.
So it is sort of down the middle, I guess.
Pretty much. I mean, you know, some say, oh, look, that's a majority. It's a mandate. And others, like Congressman Scott, said, Joel, that's not a mandate for me. You got to do better.
So now tell us the pros and cons and where you fall on that issue.
Sure. You know, I decided, particularly as a result of my last visit to the island in November, where I spent a lot of time with family members talking about this exact issue, that while I wish we here on the mainland, what I would call myself a New Yorican, which is someone from New York and someone of Puerto Rican descent,
right,
like Judge Sonia Sotomayor, we sort of can have our own opinions, but we don't really get to determine what happens to Puerto Rico.
Right.
You know, they are very, very sort of protectionist in their own right, saying, you don't live here, we've got to decide for ourselves. So I grant them that. As a sort of student of the political process, what I am advocating is that the U.S. Congress immediately separate the issue of statehood and simultaneously address the issue of how to grant Puerto Ricans full constitutional voting rights. I don't see why the two have to be connected.
So right now they are sort of linked, statehood and voting rights. And
correct.
For you, they're two separate issues and should be addressed separately.
Right, and they're linked in the U.S. Congress because of this technicality of an unincorporated versus incorporated territory, which is way too complicated for me to really give your listeners the 411 on. But suffice to say, it seems to be a sticking point that continually comes up as a thorn in the side of either side in how to resolve this issue. It seems that you have to first resolve, is it incorporated, unincorporated? You know, can it be Hawaii? Can it be Alaska? Or, you know, do they want to sort of linger in this twilight zone of identity?
Yeah.
It's complicated.
What about the sentiment for independence? Is that strong at all?
It's there. There's three parties on the island. The Popular Democratic Party, which advocates for the status quo, and that is to maintain the current Commonwealth status. Then there's the New Progressive Party, which seeks statehood. And then there is, I would say, they're evenly split, maybe with the PDP right now, or I think they... PPD, it's long. It's an alphabet soup thing. I think they are probably in the majority right now, given Fortuno's win. The New Progressive Party being for statehood. The Puerto Rican Independence Party, it's hard to get a stat on it, but I would say somewhere between 4 and 7% of islanders are for that position.
So sort of like America's, our third party movement for presidential candidates pop up every once in a while.
You know what? Exactly like that. You know, the independents, those seeking independence are probably the Ralph Naders of the process.
Yeah. We're talking with Julia Torres-Barden, live from Richmond, an award-winning writer and former corporate spokesperson, a graduate of the Sorensen Institute at UVA, and a former member of then-Governor Mark Warner's first Latino Advisory Commission here in Virginia. So I'm curious what it is you think most Americans, what we don't get about Puerto Rico, and what should we understand? What would you really like us, what should we understand moving forward if, you know, and I got to agree with you. I tell you what, I don't hold the cards too close to my chest. I think it's wrong that we have citizens, natural born citizens, who can be drafted into our military who don't have the right to vote in America and choose their own representatives.
Right.
To me, there's just something so undemocratic about that and such a violation of the principles of the Constitution that I don't see how we can just have a straight face when we talk about Puerto Rico.
Well, not only that, but particularly in this new administration's sort of priority number one to restore America's perception as a beacon for democracy around the world, we really must start right here at home by granting Puerto Ricans, you know, living on the island their full voting rights if we're going to be taken seriously anywhere.
Right, right.
So diplomacy is at stake. And when you asked me a moment ago about, you know, sort of the big picture, I mentioned earlier that, you know, those for Puerto Rican independence do take their grievances to the United Nations, okay, on a regular basis. And you have countries, third world sometimes, and sometimes our enemies, standing with those who want independence for Puerto Rico. And so, one, it's a diplomatic embarrassment to United States diplomacy efforts. And two, I feel like it's an ignored element that would greatly enhance the way in which we approach diplomacy with all of Latin America.
And what do you mean by that?
What I mean is that if Hugo Chavez continues to see that this country doesn't treat its own people fairly, and of course his affinity for Puerto Rico, given their similar language, would be where his focus is, then it sort of feeds his negative perceptions about who we are.
So he can get up and yell to his people, you know, they don't even let American
Puerto
citizens.
Puerto Ricans, you know, our brothers, our Spanish-speaking, you know, Spain-descendant brothers and sisters are being chained by the American colonialists.
Right, right.
That needs to be resolved.
Natural-born American citizens that don't have the right to vote in America.
Correct, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. 2.9 million, as I said, of whom are eligible voters, who, again, have sacrificed in every way that every other American chooses to every single day. Now, people will bring up this issue about federal taxes. Well, if they maintain their Commonwealth status, then they don't have to pay federal taxes. Well, what happens is if a Puerto Rican, let's say like me, I decide to move to Puerto Rico, okay, I have a choice to make. If I declare residency, then I know I'm giving up my vote. If I don't declare residency, then I know that I'm saving money on my federal taxes.
Because Puerto Ricans don't have to pay federal taxes.
Correct.
They still have to pay.
Those who inhabit that island.
They still have to pay taxes that are unique to Puerto Rico, right?
Like a
Commonwealth
million
tax.
Of them, trust me. you know, the economy there has been suffering as much as our economy here. We are very intertwined. But again, it seems sort of like a quid pro quo, if you will. You know, if you move to Puerto Rico, you have to decide between paying federal taxes or keeping your presidential vote.
Yeah.
That's not cool. That's like money for pay for play or something.
Right, right.
Doesn't seem cool.
We're talking with Julia Torres Barden. Before we let you go, your thoughts about when you heard the nomination of Judge Sotomayor?
My thoughts are, first of all, several have mentioned that they are offended she was referred to as an immigrant. Not that it might be, it's probably technically true, although I do believe she was born here. It indicates, because remember, the non-Hispanic community has a tendency to lump us all together. Remember, Puerto Ricans in that U.S. Census category of demographics are the only ones who are full United States citizens.
Yeah.
We don't want to take your illegal immigration questions. And so I think that where she is concerned, you're going to see all of this stereotypical conversation come up, whether or not she's been charged as a racist or whether or not, you know, what is arroz con habichuelas? It sounds too exotic or foreign to me. I'm intimidated. She is a girl from New York City at the end of the day. She is not from some far-off land, and you cannot assume that somehow she is going to vote one way or another based on her connection to being Hispanic. She's an American, full-blooded, just like you and me. So I hope that the nomination process is conducted in a fair, just, and tempered manner, whereby we don't go the stereotype route. You know, we stick with just the facts, ma'am, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be the best, but I have a feeling it's going to be a brawl. She's as American as you and I. So
as is everyone born in Puerto Rico.
Yes, Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Again, I guess that's the larger point.
Right.
Of this whole conversation, which, you know, let's admit it, most Americans, they don't get that.
Right. No, they don't get that.
If you speak Spanish and you come from someplace south of Florida or Mexico, they just assume that, you know, you're from another world.
Right. Or that we're all the same. And there are more than 20 different Latin American countries that comprise that one category in the U.S. Census. Puerto Ricans, again, are the only ones who were granted U.S. citizenship, I believe, by Truman. So, you know, we've been at this for a while, and I am not, you know, in any way telling your listeners that you should feel sorry for us. I am as frustrated with Puerto Rican Islanders as I am with everybody else.
Yeah.
They've got to do a better job at their PR, if you will.
Right, right.
In telling their story.
And what's the one message you'd want them to get out?
Please treat us fairly. We have sacrificed everything. We have tried to be the best Americans we can be. We have died for you. We will do anything you ask. We step up. And isn't it time that you simply allow us the same rights guaranteed by the Constitution of the United States, that being to vote for my commander-in-chief and the president who might send me into harm's way? All I ask is for mutual respect.
Julia Torres-Barden, an award-winning writer, former corporate spokesperson, and a graduate of the UVA's Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership. Julia, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Muchas gracias. Take care.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.